Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. I'll tell you about the competition between Chinese and Western data storage companies, and why some experts are worried about what China could do with the data it stores. Brian Lin will take us to Pyeongchang, South Korea. Officials there are trying to learn from the mistakes made in the recently ended Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Dan Friedel will tell us about all of the sponsors American swimmer Ryan Lochte is losing because of an incident in Rio. And Pete Musto will present an in-depth report on alcohol abuse on American college campuses. So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started. Chinese companies have begun competing with Western companies in the cloud computing and data storage market. The cloud war is taking place as the dispute between the United States and China about data hacking and computer network security grows stronger. Chinese companies such as Alibaba, Baidu, and Huawei are expanding within their country and gaining customers in other countries. At the same time, regulations against foreign companies in China make competing with those businesses difficult. The increasing competition in cloud computing and storage worries some experts. They are concerned about the security of information. After all, companies often use the cloud to store important confidential information and to operate such activities as data-driven machinery, telecommunications, banking, and transport systems, including plans for driverless vehicles. Lee Brandstetter is an associate professor of economics at the Heinz School of Policy and Management of the Carnegie Mellon University. He told VOA that many multinational companies have serious concerns about the protection of their intellectual property in China. Brandstetter said some of these large companies already believe they have lost valuable information. All of this would give non-Chinese multinationals pause before entrusting their critical data to Chinese cloud computing service providers, Brandstetter said. But experts say some companies simply do not have enough money to pay for the higher-cost cloud computing services sold outside China. Sheila Jasanoff is the director of the Program on Science, Technology, and Society at Harvard's Kennedy School. She called the cloud computing industry unruly. In other words, the industry is not strictly governed. People in the business are making rules as they go along, or taking advantage of the lack of rules, Jasanoff said. She said cloud computing companies are not clear about what security measures they are promising customers. She is worried that a major accident may happen before governments realize the need for stronger rules in the cloud computing industry. I would think a big tragedy might happen in a large airport or other facility, like a hospital system, and it would result in loss of life, she said. She believes there should be internationally accepted rules on data security. But she does not believe an international agreement will be reached anytime soon. Chinese companies are creating data centers in multiple countries and trying to sell data management services throughout the world. For example, Alibaba has created data centers in the United States, Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. However, Professor Brandstetter does not believe Chinese companies selling cloud services can compete with companies such as Google, Microsoft, and Amazon. He said China is an unusual country because it tries to keep out foreign data companies, or, in his words, digital players. For this reason, I expect Chinese digital players to continue to be dominant at home, but I do not expect them to be very successful abroad, Brandstetter said. China's limits on foreign data companies mean Chinese companies have been able to sell their services locally with little competition. As a result, these Chinese companies have captured a lot of business. More than one-fifth of the world's largest companies are in China, as measured by Forbes magazine. If foreign companies want to work in China, the government requires them to work with a Chinese company, and they must place their computer servers in China. Some foreign companies have agreed to these restrictions because of the large size of the Chinese market.
In Olympic sports, attention is now turning to the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. South Korean organizers say they hope to avoid the delays and other problems organizers faced in Rio de Janeiro. In 1988, South Korea hosted the Summer Olympic Games in Seoul. A slowing economy and budget shortfalls caused delays in some projects in Rio. Others were left unfinished. Organizers in the Brazilian city were criticized for the delays. They prevented complete testing of some Olympic buildings and structures before the games started. Australian officials complained of bad housing conditions after its athletes arrived. They said the housing was not habitable. The Australian team stayed in a hotel while the problems were fixed. Some Chinese athletes in Rio posted pictures on social media of broken bathroom facilities. Organizers of the Pyeongchang Olympics say they learned some important lessons from the problems in Rio. They have promised to complete all Olympic buildings and infrastructure improvements in time to fix unexpected issues. Yo Hyung Ko is Secretary General of the Pyeongchang Organizing Committee. "We are making an effort to ensure the Pyeongchang Olympics will be progressive and successful by having learned from Rio as a reference," he said. The committee estimates the Pyeongchang Olympics will cost $12 billion. This is much higher than the $4 to $6 billion spent in Rio. But it is far less than the $50 billion spent on the 2014 Sochi Winter Games in Russia. Earlier this month, the president of the Pyeongchang Committee, Lee Hee-bom, said all preparations were fully on track for the Games. "We will work hard for success at the Games in 2018. Lee made the comments during a meeting of the International Olympic Committee in Rio. South Korean officials have said all 12 Olympic venues are expected to be completed by September 2017. Organizers plan to hold test events before the Games to identify and correct any problems. One of the most expensive projects will be building a high-speed railway linking the Pyeongchang mountain area to Seoul. The train is expected to be finished by June 2017. It will reduce the travel time of the 120-kilometer trip from 4 hours to 1. South Korea's central government is paying for infrastructure improvements as well as 75% of the costs for sports facilities. The local government in Gangwon Province will pay the remaining 25%. Organizers have also said that 90% of South Korea's Olympic sponsorship goal of $760 million will be met by the end of this year. Some local residents have complained that the Games will result in higher taxes and increased housing prices. Officials, however, have pointed out that the area will benefit from the new sports venues for many years to come. They say plans have already been made to use 10 of the 12 Olympic buildings after the Games. The facilities will be used for professional and amateur sports, education, cultural events, and exhibitions, officials said. I'm Brian Lin.
This is what's trending today. Ryan Lochte's name stayed in the news this week, 2 days after the closing ceremony of the Rio de Janeiro Summer Olympics. Lochte is the American swimmer who did not tell the truth about being robbed early one morning during the Rio Games. Four of Lochte's sponsors said they would no longer support him. two of the sponsors are well-known companies, Speedo and Ralph Lauren. Speedo makes swimwear, including the suits many swimmers wore in the Olympics. Ralph Lauren made the clothing Team USA athletes wore during the opening and closing ceremonies in Rio de Janeiro. Many companies pay money so athletes will wear their clothing, use their equipment, and appear in their advertisements. Lochte got into trouble for saying he and three teammates were robbed when men posing as police officers stopped his taxi. But after the Rio de Janeiro police investigated the incident, it turned out that Lochte was not telling the truth. Video cameras at a gas station showed Lochte and his teammates getting into an argument with armed security guards. Lochte and his teammates explained that they were asked to pay money for damaging property at the gas station. But the explanation came many days after the first story they told. In an interview, Lochte said the incident and his behavior tarnished the Rio de Janeiro Olympics a little. Speedo said it would donate $50,000 to a charity that supports children. The other sponsors that ended their connection with Lochte were a hair removal company and a Japanese company that makes mattresses. Sponsors can usually end their deals with an athlete if he or she behaves badly. Many people on Facebook and Twitter reacted to the news. They said, "The moral of the Lochte story is, take responsibility for your actions, however embarrassing they may be." Others said, "People should remember, what you do in the present affects your future." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Popular culture often shows alcohol as a big part of the college experience in the United States. Television programs and movies about American college life have images of wild parties with young people either drinking alcohol or holding a drink. Now, a new study of alcohol use suggests that some college students may be missing meals so they can have more drinks or get drunk faster. Researchers are calling this kind of behavior drunkorexia. The study involved 1,184 college students between the ages of 18 and 26 years. Most of the students attended the University of Houston in Houston, Texas, while the others went to school in other parts of the country. Researchers asked the students about their alcohol use. They found that 80% of those studied had demonstrated some kind of drunkorexia in the past 3 months. They had performed heavy physical exercise, eaten low-calorie meals, or even missed meals for up to a full day before drinking alcohol. Dipali Rinker organized the study and presented its findings to the Research Society on Alcoholism in June. Rinker teaches psychology at the University of Houston. She says students see drunkorexia as a way to keep their body weight down while drinking alcohol. And it causes them to feel the effects of alcohol quickly and with more intensity. Rinker says unhealthy eating habits are only one of the reasons this type of behavior is dangerous. heavy drinking is linked to drunk driving, operating a vehicle while drunk, unprotected sex, sexual assault, and alcohol poisoning. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism is a U.S. governmental agency that studies alcohol-related problems. It found that about 1,825 college students between 18 and 24 years old die from alcohol-related injuries every year. Nicole Mattern attends the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. She says drinking is common among the students she knows at the school. It is a violation of U.S. law for anyone under the age of 21 to buy alcoholic drinks. But Mattern says many students under 21 use false documents to enter drinking establishments and buy alcohol. Mattern says she and her friends only drink alcohol in their free time after their schoolwork is done. But she believes that drinking is an undeniable part of life on a U.S. college campus.
Young people have normalized the drinking culture. Some people have been drinking since they were 16, and they're not just going to stop because they're in a different environment.
The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism looked at how often college students used alcohol in 2014. It found that almost 60% of college students between 18 and 22 years old had at least one drink in the month before being asked about their drinking habits. Rinker at the University of Houston says one reason alcohol is so common is because students believe everyone around them is drinking. They believe they are expected to drink and get drunk.
There's this sense of invincibility in the sense this is time in life in which it's sort of okay to push those boundaries a little bit. So when you combine the perception that this is okay, this is what you do in college, this is what other college students are doing with this developmental time period, all of that creates a context for engaging in heavy and risky drinking behaviors.
George Koob directs the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. He says another reason young adults turn to alcohol is that they have a great deal of freedom. He says this mainly affects students in their first year of college.
And this may be different in other countries, but in the United States for sure, this is the first time they've left home in many cases. It's the first time they have an unstructured environment. It's the first time they're independent. And all of these things lead to them needing to make choices.
First-year students often drink with more intensity than others, Koob adds. However, both he and Rinker agree that students in sports programs, college fraternities, and sororities drink more than other students. Koob says that the percent of students using alcohol has not increased in recent years. But what worries him is that the number of students drinking to the point of blacking out has increased. Blacking out is when a person drinks so much alcohol they have no memory of their actions while drunk. Blacking out often results from binge drinking. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism defines binge drinking differently for men and women because their bodies process alcohol differently. For a woman, binge drinking means having at least 4 alcoholic drinks in 2 hours. For a man, it means having at least 5 drinks over the same period. The Institute reported that almost 38% of students between 18 and 22 years old binge drank in the month before being asked about their drinking habits in 2014. Koob notes that college students in Canada and Europe also face issues with alcohol. But he feels a big part of the problem is that Americans do not fully understand alcohol's effects. Most people do not know that the part of the brain where decisions are made is not fully developed until age 25. Most people do not know that alcohol harms the development of that part of the brain, he adds. Koob and Rinker agree that there are many different ways schools can try to deal with the issue of student drinking. There is no single best method. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism released a report listing many different possibilities for school administrators last year. The report, called College AIM, said colleges can attempt to ban alcohol use completely, but this has yet to be shown as the most effective solution. Koob and Rinker say schools must at least educate students about safe drinking. Also, schools should try to show students that their ideas about drinking are not completely true. Rinker says young people need to know that many of their student peers do not drink large amounts of alcohol. Schools must also continue discussing the issue of alcohol with students throughout their period of study. Most schools only offer training to students during their first year, she says. Ken Ballum is the dean of students at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. The college rating service Princeton Review listed the school as the number one party school out of 380 schools in 2015. Ballum says he is not sure why his university is considered a party school. He feels it is better known for its academic programs. But he understands that all universities must do all they can to address the problems of alcohol use on their campuses. The University of Illinois works with the local police to prevent alcohol-related incidents. The school also offers medical amnesty. This means the university does not punish students for violating rules governing alcohol if the students seek medical assistance. But Ballum says the best solutions begin with communication. He feels that students, parents, and administrators all must discuss how alcohol affects the college environment.
Parents of current or incoming students play a role in being involved in addressing alcohol-related matters with their sons and daughters.
Ballum says that students should understand that alcohol is not an important part of the college experience. And, he adds, there are many activities for college students that do not involve alcohol. I'm Pete Musto.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com, or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. We hope this program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.